Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you sit down, turn to someone and bless them in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you, brother. You may be seated.
We certainly bless Him for all things tonight. And we praise Him and worship Him for all of His goodness and kindness. I do thank Him tonight. I praise Him for the revelation of His truth. For His truth is righteous. As I ponder Scripture, and I see things in the text, it's amazing what is written in the book that we literally think we know, and we don't know it. Because the mind is not willing to receive truth. It loves things that are of the fairy tale type of rendition. When it comes to the profound truth, the truth tends to break every shackle and every bondage. And as I thought, there are things that Yahweh began to open up my understanding through to. I knew that there were those that were weak and those that were, I believe, that were strong. They proved to be the weaker ones. And the ones that I perceived that were weaker, they were the ones that were the stronger ones. And so as I began to understand things in a greater depth, as I said to the Father today, it makes no difference. I will show us things in Scripture. I don't care whether you're weak or strong. It takes faith to believe it and to receive it. Now you say, Pastor Roberts, what are you saying? Well, I will show us things in the text that you have in your hand. We think that there are no errors in there, but there are errors. And I will show you tonight. I will show you. Now, what are you saying? I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. I believe that. But there are things that when man puts his hands to, he makes a mistake. Now, I will show you in Scripture. I will get to that in the latter part. I know how our mindset is. Because we've been trained like little puppy dogs. And we don't want to receive truth because of our emotions. Well, I don't believe that. Well, when I show you in Scripture, then you give me an argumentative point of view, all right? Don't tell me of the apologetics. That's what men do. That's why the Catholics, they have the apologetics, and the Baptists have the apologetics, because they try to apologize for mistakes. You can't. I know that anything that man puts his hand to, he will corrupt it. That's why we must be led by the Spirit of Yahweh. We must know His Spirit. It's not this crazy mess that is purported in what we call the black assemblies. It's not this dignified trash what we call in the Caucasian assemblies. It is not this mom tradition what we call in the Yahweh assembly. It is the power of Almighty Yahweh that He reveals Himself unto His people from the inward parts. We really don't have what we truly think we have. This is a lazy generation. It despised spending time with Yahweh. I will show you in Scripture. Now, I do want to continue on the message that I began on the Shabbat. I do. Now we see in Scripture where all of these gods. Now if Yahweh is a God, use that expression for you that do not understand well. But if He is a God, ought not His name be in text like the other gods? Now, if the God's name transferred from the old covenant to the new covenant, ought not Yahweh's name, or if that is His name, ought not His name appear as well? Do you tell me that He intend for the name of the other gods to be there so we will not worship them? Or does He intend for His name to be there, that His name is the most sacred name upon the face of the earth? It is the most holy name because there is only one. He will not share His honor with no other. So did He intend for their names to be there and His name not to be there so that we will not worship them? Or did He intend for His name to be there and their name to be exposed so we will know the true one? We'll know the mighty El, the mighty one of Israel. Now I will show us things in Scripture whereby the names of the gods in the old covenant, they are transliterated in the new covenant. Now, how is it that that God retains the integrity of that name and the name of Yahweh has no integrity? How is it? How were they so careful to transport the name from the old covenant to the new covenant It is spelled the same. It is enunciated the same. And yet the one that created the God, his name is nowhere to be found. His name cannot be found in Scripture. We can sit in all of our ignorance and our emotions, and they're going to destroy you. What's this going to do? The truth is what makes us free. Give us the liberty to worship your way. Now you can sit here all emotional all you want to. I will expound upon the truth. I want to begin in Michael chapter 4 verse 5. Please write these scriptures down. I want you to study them. If I'm wrong, show me. Show me in Scripture whereby I am wrong. It says in Michael chapter 4, verse 5. Now this is a prophecy of the end time concerning the latter days that shall come upon the face of the earth. Now that is what this prophecy in Michael concerns. It is our time. It is the time that we are in. And the prophecy says, for all, Michael 4, 5, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. Everyone walk in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, for how long? Forever and ever. Now the prophecy says that in this hour, you're going to find everyone walking in the name of their God. The Baptist God, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Seventh-day Adventist, Presbyterian, they all have their gods, and don't tell me that their gods are the same. You can deceive yourself, but their gods are different. The Presbyterian God is different than the Lutheran God. The black God is different than the Caucasian God. Their gods are different. And so everyone today, they will walk in the name of their God. And that is why that terminology is so easily acceptable today. I love gods. And they will all tell you they know God. What God do they know? Yahweh never identified himself as a God. He's greater than a God. For all gods are made, gods are idols, and they have no power at all. All power comes from Yahweh. So he is not a God. Now he is the Elohim that can never be transliterated or translated into the word God. The man has done their surmising to do this, and is wrong. That is anything you do in life, if you tell someone that I worship God, so in their vernacular, they will find things that are associated with some form of worship, whether it's pagan, whether it's true, and they will begin to use the idioms of that pagan worship and correlate that with the worship of the true and the mighty one. It doesn't work that way. He never intended for man to incorporate him with pagan identities, and man has done that. So in this hour, we're going to find them all walking in the name of their God. And yet there is a people that shall walk in the name of your way, and they shall walk in it forever. Now there are gods. There are gods in the new covenant and the old. And their names are transported from one covenant to the other, the same. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts 7, 42 and 43. Scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 42. Look at this carefully. It says, this is the closure of Stephen. When he told that rebellious house of Israel their sins and their corruption. This is what he says. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heavens. When he brought them out from under great bondage. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Do you hear that? Now that name Moloch, you will find that it is transported from the old covenant as well to the new. It does not lose its form of enunciation. It is the same. In the Greek enunciation and the Hebraic, it is the same. I will show you as I go farther. So he said that you have taken up the tabernacle of Moloch. Now, who is Moloch? Who is this God? It was a God that was a lifeless God, could not generate life, could not give life. And yet they took up the tabernacle of this lifeless thing that had no power to generate any kind of life at all. Now that is this nation today and the world. The gods have no power. They are lifeless. They have no anointing at all. The Baptist God, the Pentecostal, the First Day God, none have any anointing. Because Yahweh has all power. So you have taken up the tabernacle of Moloch. And the star of your God, Rimfind, figures ye have made to worship them. And I will carry you away into Babylon. Because you have done this, I will take you into a place whereby there will be mass confusion. Now that is what Babylon is. It is a place of mass confusion. You cannot discern or understand the things that are necessary and needed for your soul. And that's this generation. It cannot discern. This is a generation that has no ability to discern. It doesn't know. It is an ignorant generation because everything is purported and substantiated by some emotion or some feeling. It's not based upon things that are relevant to truth. And it reveals to man who the one is that gives truth. So our traditions never do that. They have never done that. The things that we have learned, they have never revealed to us the power of truth to make us free from the bondage of this flesh. We serve the flesh. We honor it. We serve it diligently, wholeheartedly. We obey every command of the flesh. We sacrifice to it. We offer to the flesh. When it comes to Yahweh, we have a reason not to do what He commands us to do. And that ought not to be. So Moloch was a god that we find in the Old Covenant. Rimfan is a god that we find in the Old Covenant. Now how is it, brothers and sisters, that the name of these gods, in the Old Covenant, their names are still the same in the New? And if Yahweh, I say this carefully, quote, is a god, unquote, then why is His name not in the New Covenant as well? If He's a false god, are these gods false gods? They're false gods. Then why are their names more important than the name of the Father? Why is it that their names sustain the same character and identity, but yet the Father's name has no identity? This is a generation that will not ask the question like that, because they go on emotions and feelings, and that ought not to be so. I want to read two things concerning the name of Yahweh. It says this. Psalms 145 verse 21. Psalms 145 verse 21. David said, my mouth shall speak the praise of Yahweh. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Not sometimes, but let all flesh bless His name forever and ever. Do you understand what a memorial is, saints? A memorial is something that we build or establish to bring into remembrance the one that has given us great honor or given us things in life that we may remember that person. And you can search the Old Covenant and New, and you will find names of kings and cities that were named Bel Peor after their gods to bring into memory the memorial of that god. That His name, or that God's name, would always be in the mind of the people, the statues, the cities, the kings, they were named that way. And if you take just a little time and study Scripture, and get a decent dictionary and begin to research things, you will see this. We're lazy and shiftless. We've got time for everything but Scripture truth. So His name is a name that is holy, and we ought to bless it forever and ever. Isaiah 63:16. Pastor Robert, you are taking Scripture out of text. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm taking Scripture for what its value is. It is a simple Scripture that cannot be taken out of text. His name ought to be blessed forever and ever. Isaiah 63:16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, Thou, O Yahweh, our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Now, stop there. You see a scripture like that, if his name is from everlasting, and yet Molech's name continued in the Old Covenant as well as the New, then where is the Father's name? Tell me. Are we that ignorant? Are we that blinded by tradition and our flesh that we cannot see the simplicity of scripture? His name is forever. His name is immemorial. You tell me the name of Molech is immemorial. His name ought to be remembered in our minds and our spirits. And yet the scripture acknowledges those names in the Old Covenant as well in the New. Now I want to show you something in the Old and the New whereby scripture acknowledges the names of gods. Turn to 2 Kings. And I will identify these gods too in their strengths. 2 Kings. Verse 1. Chapter 1 verse 2. And then Matthew 12, 24. 1 Kings 1, 2. And Matthew 12, 24. It says in 2 Kings. And Ahaziah fell down through the ladders in the upper chambers that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, look at what he says now, 2 Kings 1, 2. He fell down, the king, he was sick. So he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now, you understand who he called for? The prince of all deities of darkness. It is actually one of the disguised names of Shaitan. He said, you inquire of Beelzebub, the prince of all powers, and inquire whether I shall recover from this massive disease that has overtaken me. Now, if that God, he called him a God, he said, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Is that not what it says? Now, if that name is purported from New Covenant to the Old Covenant, then why is not the Father's name purported or carried over? It says in Matthew 12:24. Look what it says here. Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, talking about Messiah, they said, this fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Same God, same enunciation. It is said the very same way, Beelzebub, same thing. You understand the integrity of the name. You know what name they are talking about. And the name is transported from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. Now think about this, saints. Truly, I want you to think. Why is not the Father's name transported? Why do people have problems announcing his name, and yet when it comes to Beelzebub, they will call that name, and they will enunciate that thinking they can pronounce it right and properly. And they take some sense of knowing that it is Beelzebub. And yet the name of that God, the spirit of that God, that careful, pain-taking identity was taken from the old to the new, and yet the Father's name is nowhere to be found. Who is this one that we serve? When Ahaziah, when he fell sick, he did not say, call for the preachers. He said, you go inquire of the God of Ekron, Beelzebub. Did he not identify the God? He knew exactly who he prayed to, didn't he? Now, for us to think that we're going to pray to our Father without identifying him, you are an ignorant illiterate. That's not so. We have been taught those lies because we have not been taught the Father's name. So we don't know. Even Messiah said, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or sacred is your name. It is a kudosh name. It is such a holy name. You don't abuse that name. You don't. I'd rather know the name of Yahweh than Molech. 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 And as I listen to the enunciation from the Greek tongue, it is enunciated the same as from the Hebrew tongue. It is the same. But yet the names retain their integrity. They're both lords now. Beelzebub, lord of the flies. That's what they are. Of unclean spirits. They're lords. They're rulers of unclean spirits. Lord of the house, what house? Well, the house of ill repute, the house that is corrupt. Well, Pastor Robert, that is only one example. I will take you to another one. I want you to look at Amos chapter 5, Amos 5:26, and Acts, Amos 5:26, and Acts 7:43. Amos 5:26, and Acts 7:43. It says in Amos, it says this in 5:26. But ye have brought the tabernacle of your Moloch and Shuden, your images, the star of your God which ye have made to yourself. Now, did not Stephen prophesy the very same thing to the house of Israel? Did I not just read that in Acts 7:42? He says, then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O house of Israel, ye have offered up to me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, ye have took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Remphan, figures which ye made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now the name Moloch retains the same spelling. It is the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Covenant. Is it not? It is spelled the very same way. M-O-L-O-C-H. It is spelled the same. That is a true transliteration of the Hebrew word Moloch. It did not change in any variance at all. Now, why has the Father's name changed, or why it is not even identified in Scripture? Now, if this one is talking to a house of Israel and warning them against these pagan gods and these images, then who is the one that is warning me? What is his name? How is it that Moloch, the name of Moloch, retains its integrity of identity, but the Father's name doesn't? It is enunciated the same in the Hebrew and the Greek tongue. I listen to the enunciation in the Hebrew tongue, and I listen in the Greek, and it is still the same. Moloch. Moloch. It is the same. And yet this God retains its identity. Now, where is the Father's identity? Who is he? Is he a God? You spell his name with a capital G, so that makes him a God. Lies. I will show you how erroneous that is. Because there is a place in Scripture where they talk, what Scripture talk about gods, capital G-O-D, S. It's in Scripture. It's found. Because the Philistines talk about the gods. And it's spelled with a capital G. So that means that that's Yahweh? That means that that's the God that you serve? Can't be. We're ignorant and we're lazy. It's one thing about a generation of people that we're so easily, it doesn't take much to lull us. And so once we get set in our ways, we don't like to be turned. Well, I'm comfortable here. No, Yahweh doesn't intend for you to be comfortable. He intends for you to endure. He doesn't intend for your flesh to be comfortable. No, he doesn't. He's going to shake his house. His house is going to be tried. His house is going to be proven. And you're going to have a knowledge that is going to sustain, that's going to withstand the powers of hell. And what we have today is not going to withstand the powers of hell. Not at all. Your emotions are not going to overcharge the powers of hell. You need the knowledge of his truth. And ye shall know the truth. It's the power of that truth that gives us the liberation to walk in him, to have our fullness in Messiah. And that's the truth. Well, I'm going to show something tonight, whether you concur with me or not. You can't dispute it because it's in Scripture. It's here. Scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, these gods that I've shown you, are the names the same in the Old as well in the New Covenant? So I'll give you some more evidence then. Deuteronomy 13:13. Deuteronomy 13:13. 2 Corinthians 6:15. Deuteronomy 13:13. It says, Deuteronomy 13:13. Certain men, the children of Belial, and that is the worthless, wicked God that inhabits one, that it makes them worthless. It is the name of Shaltan. It is his identity.
But the name had been disguised, and yet the people knew the name to perform their false worship. It says, certain men, the children of Belial, have gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve who? Serve who? Other gods which ye have what? Which you have not known. Now this is the generation that's serving gods that they have not known. They're serving religious gods. I know what I'm saying, saints. They're serving religious gods. They're serving images. And images in their minds. They're serving a rebelliousness. A rejection of Yahweh's truth. A rejection of the simplicity of His truth. And they're serving their emotions and their feelings. They're serving those old images that they have based in their minds and their spirits. But it's not based upon truth. So here it is that this god Belial, they were children of this god Belial, this worthless, no good, countless god. And Shaitan is worthless. And in 2 Corinthians 6:15, now the god retains the name in the scripture. It says this now. It says in the KJV, Jesus, doesn't it? It said, in what concourse had Messiah with Belial? How can you identify Messiah with the god Belial? Is it not spelled the same as it is in the Old Covenant? And it is enunciated the same, Belial. Or what part hath he that believe with an infidel? So there is a god that was a worthless god that drew men into perdition and darkness. And the identity of that God has not been lost through the Greek translation of Hebrew Scripture. And yet the name of the Father has been lost from Hebrew Scripture to Greek translation to the English translation. How can that be so? I know what I'm saying. This is the truth here. I'm showing you from the book in your hand. Now how is it that Belial, the name is the same in the old and the same in the new, when it comes to Messiah, his name is lost. When it comes to the Father, there is no identity. When it comes to the name of the Son, we have a Latin Greek pagan name, Iesus, translated into an English name, Jesus. And that's what it is. It is a pagan name. Because heathens gave that name. Yahweh gave the Son the name, and he came in the Father's name. He is of the Yah. Jeremiah 23:27. And Romans 11:4. I'm writing a little book with much of this in here. I want you to read the book when I finish the writing. It will be much more detailed than the preaching. Jeremiah 23:27. Romans 11:4. Look at this. Which think, Jeremiah 23:27. Which think to cause my people... You have caused my people to forget what? He said, you have caused my people to forget what? Amen. That's in Jeremiah 23:27. Listen to me, saints. Respond when I ask you that. He said, you caused my people to do what? Amen. Now, he must have a name if it's forgotten, isn't it? Should not there be a name there if he had a name? That the people have forgotten his name? That the prophets and the priests and the pastors had caused his people to forget his name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for who? Forgot my name for Baal. Baal, Lord. And that's what they forgot the Father's name for today, for Lord. I love the Lord. You love Baal. I don't know. I can never transliterate into Lord. You can transliterate into Master, but never Lord. He said, you've caused my people, your dreams, your lies, your prophecy, to forget my name. And then you know the name of Baal. Now isn't that, the people are so ignorant. He said, they have forgotten my name. And yet he used the same phrase, name, and name the God that they have acknowledged. Where they will say, well, that doesn't mean that's his name. That means his authority. Then why is it not his authority here? You caused my people to forget my authority. And caused them to remember the authority of who? Well, the authority of Baal. At least they knew whose authority they were under. cause them to forget my name, and then you're going to take the name, my name for Baal. See, that's what they have done. That's what the word Baal means, equals Lord. They have forgotten the Father's name. You say, the Lord bless you. Oh, the Lord loves you. They're saying Baal. I don't know. I can never be Lord, saints. I do too much research. I study the scripture. And I find things in scripture that would actually shock you. There are a lot of things I don't tell you because there are yet some of you are still weak. And you can't bear it. I know how many could not bear the name. So there are things that I cannot just pour out like a fountain because I know that the minds are not ready. And that is the truth. So the name Baal was in Jeremiah. Male God, the Lord, he was a male Phoenician Canaanite God. It tells you its identity. And then in Romans 11:4, it says, Romans 11:4, you see how that is spelled? B-A-A-L. Is it spelled that way in the Old Covenant? And it says in Romans 11:4, but what said the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knees to the image of who? Of Baal. It identifies the God as he spoke unto Elijah, who the God that they bowed to. Now, who is the God that has reserved those that have not bowed? Are we that ignorant? Are they such a selfish, stupid generation that it has no spiritual mind that cannot reveal the simple truths of Yahweh? Yet it identifies this God, this male Phoenician Canaanite God, and the one that created all things, he's not even identified. To me, that is preposterous. To me, somewhere in scripture, something is wrong. In the text of how it is written, something is wrong. I don't care if you folks don't appreciate it. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to show you things in scripture. It makes no difference. I don't care how you grapple with it. It's as simple here. These names are purported from the old, from the Hebrew to the Greek. They're still the same. Even to the English. I listen to the enunciation. And the word Baal is pronounced just that way. Baal. Baal. It is pronounced the same way in Greek. It's pronounced the same way in English. How is that? How could that name? How is it that this name carried through the old covenant to the new, from the translation from Greek to from Hebrew to Greek, and from Greek to Latin, from Latin to English? How is that? And yet it retains its integrity of sound. And yet where is the Father's name? It's been a surmising of hell what it's been. Because they've been corrupt men that didn't love Yahweh. That's why Shaul says, I have cried and pled with you for the space of 3.5 years. I have warned you, have declared unto you the whole counsel of Yahweh. But I know when I leave, I know what's going to happen. Grievous wolves shall enter in. And then he said, from the midst of you shall arise up corrupt men, and they shall corrupt many. We are not like many, he said, that corrupt the message of Messiah. And many men have corrupted it for their own filthy lucre, for their own gain. These perverts today, they don't care who you are. If you can bring a nickel or a dollar, that's all they want. And they're not going to go to the fullness of truth. They will tell you, keep your pagan worshiping, your pagan feast days, your pagan celebration, and we're going to keep our pagan Sunday of worship. It is wrong, saints, to deny that commandment, to remember the Shabbat. Folks say, well, I'll just rest that day. No, they came into Jerusalem to worship on the Shabbat. You don't just lay on your duff that day. We rest in Messiah now. We enter into the tabernacle of Yahweh and bless him. It's a day of comforting in him. So these hypocrites today, they will say, well, I'm going to rest on Saturday, but I'm going to go to church on Sunday. They're wicked. They're full of darkness. And this is the generation they call good evil and evil good. But bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now that is an abominable one. That's a filthy thing. They will not call sin sin, but they will condemn the righteous and justify the wicked. They're going to the pit of darkness. And that's the truth. I will tell you the truth. Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I'm not afraid of the repercussions. I will show you what scripture says. Now you give me the answer. At the latter end of this message, I'm going to show you something in scripture. I'm going to give you a handout and show you what scripture says. And you want to debate that. You debate with scripture. Now, I want to read these scriptures carefully and quickly. No, I want to go a little farther. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37 verse 36. Isaiah 37 verse 36. Listen to this. It says, and what Yahweh was expressing unto Israel, he was saying that he's going to defend Jerusalem for the sake of himself and David. That's what he said. And he says in verse 36 now, I want to give you a little dialogue as what's transpired. Then the Malach of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. You hear that? And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch. Now, what house do we worship in? And yet this king was worshiping in the house of his God. Nisroch, his what? It calls him his God. Then what God? If Yahweh is a God, what is your God's name? And yet it identified clearly who the king was worshiping. Messiah did not say he came to seek such to worship him, but the Father seeketh such that worship him in spirit and in truth. You can reject that all day long. It is still Yahweh's truth. For he still seeks such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to get the truth in your heart. We need the true and feeling of the Kudush Ru'ah, not this trash that we have called the Spirit. It is the Spirit, but it's not Yahweh's Spirit. Because the only thing that Yahweh's Spirit, that's why Messiah, hear me, he cannot leave us comfortless. He knew the surmising of man. He knew their corruption. He knew how devious they were. He knew how they would alter things, how they would change things. He knew that. He said, so the Father's not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I will pray to who? The Father. Did not he say that? Then who did he pray to? Are we that ignorant? People reject his name because they're not accustomed to it. They're not used to it. They don't know it. And so when they hear it, they want to fight against it. You can't fight against his name. It tells you who he went to worship. Nisroch, the god that Adrimmelech and Shasarah, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. It says, and Asarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now this god, Nisroch, now I will tell you the identity of this god. It has an eagle head in a man's body. It's the god of an eagle. And that's the god of America. It has the eagle head and the body of a man. You can look up these things in dictionaries and encyclopedia. And it will tell you who they are. It has the head of an eagle. And it has the body of a man. And so he was in the house. He was in the worship house. Whereby he knew that he could find Nisroch. Now we must come to the house whereby Yahweh's name is in the house. Not the Baptist house, the Methodist house, the Lutheran house. We come to the tabernacle of Yahweh. That's where we come. There's no other name that his house should be called, but by his name. The Yahweh's congregation. The set apart, the elect, to call out the holy of Yahweh. That's all it should be called. Yahweh's assembly. It's just Yahweh's assembly. The tabernacle of Yahweh. Not the church. Wrong. It is the tabernacle, the assembly, the congregation. Deacon Billy asked me a question there as he came. He said, Pastor Roberts, what does the word love in the Hebraic tongue, how do you enunciate that? I said, Deacon Billy, first of all, there are different variations of the word love. The word love, I'm going to teach on this. I said, now if he doesn't do it, I'm going to do it. But it has a different expression when it talks about Yahweh, when it's loving man, when it's caring for that. But when you look in the Greek, it's the same. Agape or agapo. Just two enunciation. Agape and agapo. But when it comes to the pure language that Yahweh taught his people, it is totally different. And the definition of that love, I never noticed it until the day when he asked me that. I began to search us and I've never seen something that is defined this way, what we call love. It's a good expression of it unto him. We just don't know, saints. And once we get set in our old ways, we don't like to be moved. We get antsy. We get angry. We get upset. Well, my mama taught me that, but your mother didn't live a nickel's worth of hogs meat. She lived a wicked life. She was a corrupt thing. Well, my daddy, your daddy was a hell raiser. I don't care if he read the scriptures with you. The devil does that. They know that there's only one Elohim and they tremble. They know that. Yet it identified the God in this house, who he was, and where they came to worship. Now look at this in Acts chapter 14. Acts. The Acts of the Apostle. As Lucas wrote this account. Acts 14:11. I want to show you something. Acts 14:11. And this when Shaul had healed the important man in Lystra. He had healed the man. If you read the context of the scripture, you will see that. It says in verse 11, Acts 14. And when the people saw what Shaul had done, they saw the mighty power of Shaul. They lifted up their voice, saying in a speech in Lyconian, this is what they said. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Is that what it says? Is that what he says? Undoubtedly, they knew the gods. And they called Barnabas, look what they call him, Jupiter. You know who Jupiter is? He's Zeus. He is the father of helps. Now, that's what Jupiter means. Father of help. That's what they call Barnabas, Jupiter. He was the one that was helping Shaul. And they call Shaul, which means small and little. Now, that's what the name Shaul means, small, little what? The small one. They called Shaul Mercurius. And because he was the Mercurius is the god that heralds. Is the one that speaks loud. And because Shaul did the speaking, they call him Mercurius. Because he was chief speaker. Did that not they know the identity of their gods? And they knew their gods? And they knew what their gods were capable of? And yet they called these men because they sensed that the power of their gods were in these men. They did not have one God. They did not have two gods. There are many gods. And this book that I'm writing, we'll go into great details about the Roman polytheism religion and all of his saints. You're always blessing me to do this. I want you all to read it when I finish. It says, verse 13, then the priest now of all, that's why I like the word Kohan. It said the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people. They knew that their God wanted a sacrifice. They did. Even the God of Jupiter had priests, they said. Had priests. And yet our Father has no name. And yet Mercurius of Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Zeus, and these gods identified in scripture. Yet it's just, they don't say Zeus, but they say, but it says Jupiter. You can look in any dictionary, it will tell you the god Jupiter is Zeus, the father of helps. Not just the father that helps, but the father of helps. That's what it means. And yet you tell me the one you serve, he has no identity in his name. The name Jesus has no meaning at all, saints. It is a made up, invented name. It has no originality and no meaning at all. None. None whatsoever. But the name Yahweh does. He's the self-existing mighty one. No one else like him. Among the gods, there are none like Yahweh. For no one can identify with him. He will not give his honor unto no one else. He will not give his honor unto a dog god. You know, people get upset when I say that because they're ignorant. They just don't know. They don't know because they don't even know what a god is.
I know what we've been taught from our childhood up is still wrong. We taught our children to lie and to celebrate Christmas. We taught them lies. It was wrong. We taught them to do things wrong. And we have taught them in our good conscience that we thought we were doing right, we were still doing wrong. And we taught them to adhere to lies. Born in sin, and we shape them in iniquity, teaching them how to lie and to do wrong. Parents have taught their children to do that. And that's just the truth. Now, all of these gods are identified. I'm going to go into a greater depth. They're all identified, except Yahweh. Why is he not identified? That ought to amaze the minds of the people when they search scriptures and see these things. When they take time to search scriptures and all of these gods are identified, yet the Father's name is nowhere to be found. Psalm 64 and 8, that little poetic form there, 68 and 4, the only place. Look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, is this the one that you know? I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 4:8. You're always dealing with the Philistines because he was going to deliver the house of Israel into their hands. They had sinned against him. 1 Samuel 4:8. Look what it says here. 1 Samuel 4:8. The Philistines replied, "Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty?" Is that spelled with a capital G if you have a KJV? Is it spelled with a capital G? Is it spelled with a capital G? Have we not been taught that when it's spelled with a capital G, that is the God that we serve? Is that not what we've been taught, saints? Now, this is spelled with a capital G, isn't it? Is there an S on it? Does it make it plural? But yet it's spelled with a capital G. So all the other pagan gods is spelled with a small g, right? And an S. So then the one that you know, he is God, huh? Is this identifying the mighty one of Israel? Yet it's spelled the way that we've been taught. This is the God that we serve. It's spelled that way. You say what you will and may, it's spelled that way. Capital G-O-D-S. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. It's spelled with the capital G. So they're giving reverence unto Yahweh with the capital G there? You would have thought that even the translators would even put that a small G too, wouldn't you? Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistine, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. Now they said, now these gods are mighty. What gods are they talking about? Can I tell you something, saints? It makes no difference whether it's spelled with a capital G or small g. It is the same. The meaning is the same. Supreme being, the mighty one. One that is worshipped. And basically that word God has retained its definition throughout the ages. Basically the same. It has. You can look in the Webster 1836. You can look at the Oxford and all. It has maintained its definition. Yahweh is not a God. And for these pagans to call him the gods, they were pagans. And yet it is retained in the regard that man says is the honor for Almighty Yahweh, or the one that created all things, because he takes the honor spelling it capital. That is so preposterous and so ignorant. When you think about that, saints, that is so ignorant. It is such a stupid statement. It has no value at all. There is only one mighty one. And his name is Yahweh. And there is no other one like him. No other one. I want to show you something in the book of Daniel. There are a tremendous amount of scriptures. I want to get to the highlights of the ones tonight. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2. You understand that who is this God that the children of Israel will make cakes unto the queen of heaven? Who is this goddess? And yet that's what scripture says. And the scripture talks about gods and God, a lot. Different gods. There's a tremendous amount of information in scripture concerning gods. Daniel chapter 2 verse 16. I want to show you something because that name Daniel is simply meaning Yahweh is my judge. And I want to show you how they changed the name of these Hebraic men. That's what the word Daniel means. It means Yahweh is my judge.
It says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 16, and Daniel went in and desired of the king Nebuchadnezzar that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel, verse 17, and Daniel went into the house and he made things known unto Hananiah. Yahweh is my favor. Now that's what the word Hananiah means. Yahweh is my favor. To me, Shaul, who is what Yahweh is. Now that's what that name means. And Azariah, which is Yahweh, was helped. His companion. Now they all had names that identified who they served. That's why the powers of hell could not overtake them. The names were named in the accordion with concord as to honor the Father, that the mission that they will work would be to please Him. And so what the king did, he went and had all their names change to identify with the pagan gods. He had every last one of their names change. All of their names were changed because they were memorials. And their names were memorials unto Yahweh. When Daniel thought about his name, he knew that Yahweh is my judge. That's why they would not fall to succumb to the god of Nebuchadnezzar. He built a place, God in the plains of Dura, didn't he? And said, I want everybody to bow down and worship it. Yet they were not. They were not bowed down and worship the God. And it was a God too. And they fell down and they worshiped it. That's the strength of any God. When you say you worship it, you don't even know who you worship. Who is the God that you worship? Shaul says, you have an inscription, but it's unto the unknown God. And yet that has great ramification. Where were they at when he said that? Or where? They were what hill? Mars Hill. They were on the hill of the god Mars. Why was the hill called Mars? To remember Mars. The god. Mars. Everything. It was a memorial. So in the house of Yahweh, it is a memorial. His name ought to be there. And his name should. If his name is not there, then he is not there. That's just it. One time he winked at our ignorance. He saw how ignorant we were. He winked at us. That's all right. I'm going to bring them forth, my seed. Only his seed. Only his seed. He's going to bring them into deeper understanding of whom he is. You can't know who he is without knowing his name. You must know who his name is. All these folks knew their gods. And their gods have retained the character and the name. And yet the one you say you serve, he has no name. That's ignorance. He has a name. Everything has a name. Everything. 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 You even name your cats and your dogs, cows and pigs. Folks name everything. They give a name to everything. They do. And yet the mighty one that created all things, he has no name. That is stupid. Even logic will tell you that's stupid. Even just your natural mind, if you got any sense at all, will tell you how stupid that is. His people are sottish. That's what scripture says. My people are sottish. They are ignorant and stupid. Because they don't want to know. They want to justify themselves. They truly don't want to know. This is a generation that doesn't want to know. It doesn't want to adhere to truth. You can give them lies. You can feed them every kind of lie there is in their bite. It's a weak generation. The men, the women, and someone standing with the truth and they all want to kill him like they did Messiah. Like they did Stephen. They rail on him. They gnawed at him with their tongues. And they killed him because he told them the truth. And that's the way this generation is. Well, I love Pastor Robert, but that ain't right. You're a liar. You don't love me. Lying hypocrites. They don't know how to love. That's the truth. They're liars. They're hypocrites. They don't know how to love. Man loves truth. He wants to hear the matter. Let me hear the conclusion of the matter. Let me see whether he's wrong. Let me see whether does this add up. Let me see if it has any merit. It has merit. For the Father's name has merit. It's a holy name. It is a sacred name. It's a pure name. And it must be known to his house. Oh, to his house is going to be known. Let me move quickly. Now, if you look in the third chapter of Daniel, verse 29. I want to read this quickly. And therefore I decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the El, of the mighty ones. See, that's what scripture calls them. This is the decree of Nebuchadnezzar. of Shadrach. Now that word Shadrach is royal or great scribe. And that's the name they gave him. Royal or great scribe. Meshach, guest of the king, and Abednego, servant of Nebo. Now their names were not to identify with some pagan identity. It was identified with the Father. Shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no, look what it says, there is what? No other El that can deliver after this sort. There's no mighty one. But the one that they know that can deliver after this sort. Well, who is the one and what is his name that delivered? When they gave Daniel a name, it says that Daniel's name was Belteshazzar according to the name of my God. That's what they changed the name of Daniel to, Belshazzar, according to the name of their God. Now, who is this mighty El that Belshazzar was not like? Or the God, according to the name of Belshazzar, was not like? What is that El's name? What is the mighty one's name? It's Yahweh. That's his name.